My text this morning is found in the first three verses of that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Occasionally, I receive a request to write a letter of reference on behalf of someone. It's frequently one of you. You might be applying for a job or applying for a loan or applying for admission to an academic institution. Sometimes such a letter concerns someone whom I've known in another context. But a letter of reference is usually designed to be a letter of commendation, recommending one person to another for a specific purpose. Well, such letters were very common even in the New Testament world of the first century. A traveler might carry such a testimonial letter from a friend who knew someone at his destination, a letter introducing him and identifying or at least testifying to his character. One of these letters was found among the papyri from the New Testament era. It was written by Aurelius Archelaus, who was a soldier with special rank in the Roman army, and addressed to his commanding officer, a man named Julius Domitius. The letter was written to recommend his friend, Theon, to Julius Domitius, and this is what it reads. Of course, it was not in English, but I'll read it to you in English. To Julius Domitius, military tribune of the legion, from Aurelius Archelaus, his beneficarius, greeting. I have already before this recommended to you Theon, my friend, and now also I ask you, sir, to have him before your eyes as you would myself. For he is a man such as to deserve to be loved by you, for he left his own people, his goods, and his business, and followed me. And through all things he has kept me safe. I therefore pray you that he may have the right to come and see you. He can tell you everything about our business. I wish you, sir, great happiness and long life with your family and good health. Have this letter before your eyes and let it make you think that I am speaking to you. Farewell. Well, a Christian who was traveling to another community might carry such letters of introduction and commendation to the church in that new city. For there were already a lot of scam artists in the religious world who claimed to be Christians in the first century, but whose primary purpose was to rip off caring believers who would be easy marks for someone in need. So, the real item, a true believer, would carry a letter of commendation. Apollos did that when he was going from Ephesus in Asia Minor to Corinth in southern Greece. According to Acts chapter 18, verse 27, he had a letter or letters of commendation from the believers in Ephesus, introducing him to the church in Corinth. When Phoebe went from Cenchrea, the port city of Corinth, to Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote her letter of commendation. We have it in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. The purpose of these letters, then, was to bring together two parties who were unknown to each other, but known to the writer. There appear to be three reasons why Paul brought up the letter, the subject of these letters of recommendation in his letter to the church in Corinth. The first of those reasons that I see is that he was sensitive to the fact that his words in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, might sound like a letter of commendation that he had written himself, on behalf of himself. In chapter 3, verse 1, he wrote, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again?" You see, he had affirmed the purity of his message and the validity of his ministry in chapter 2 when he wrote in verse 14, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God." And then in verse 17, he wrote, "We are not like many peddling," in other words, merchandising the word of God, adjusting it so that it will sell, changing it to suit our listeners. We are not like those men who peddle the word of God, but as from God we speak in Christ in the sight of God. That might have sounded like self-commendation. Second reason why I think he brought up these letters of reference was that there were some in the church in the city of Corinth who wanted positions of leadership. They wanted to be teachers. They had gained the confidence of and influence over the church there by means of just such letters of reference, letters of commendation. Because Paul wrote in verse 1, do we need as some? Well, he didn't give their names, but I'm pretty sure that everybody in the congregation knew of whom he was writing. And then I think a third reason is that these men who were detractors of the Apostle Paul were suggesting that the church might need to investigate Paul's background and his credentials and his character more thoroughly instead of following him blindly. He wrote, "Do we need as some letters of commendation to you or from you?" I can imagine that these men were asking questions like, what do we really know about Paul? Did you check out his references before believing his message and accepting his leadership? Just what are Paul's qualifications? Does he have degrees from the University of Corinth? Has he been approved by the denomination? Maybe we need to obtain some letters of recommendation for him, letters like you already have concerning us. Can you see a conversation like that going on? That's always the way people try to gain influence in a group, even in a church. They question the character of a spiritual leader, or they attack the motives of a spiritual leader. They're not concerned with edifying the church. They are really saying, you should not follow that man, you should follow me. And that's what I understand was going on in the church in the city of Corinth, sadly. Well, Paul's words in this passage, and they're really the Holy Spirit's words, are very revealing and instructive and helpful. You see, a minister who has ministered God's word to people over an extended period of time does not need outside recommendation or outside affirmation in the hearts of his people. They know him. They know his strengths. They know his weaknesses. They know his successes. They know his failures. In Corinth, the congregation knew Paul's message. In verse 2, he wrote, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." They knew Paul's message, and they knew that God had recommended him and that God had sent him. I'm turning back to chapter 10, verse 18, when he comes back to this theme and wrote, "It is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commendeth." Paul was confident that believers in the church there could see that God had sent him and validated his ministry and authenticated it. And as a result, when he came near the end of the letter, he wrote that they should have been commending him to his detractors, chapter 12, verse 11. But the main reason why Paul did not need letters of recommendation to that church was that they were his letter of reference. They themselves, as a congregation, the believers there in Corinth, were that letter of commendation. Look at verse 2 again. "You are our letter." Now, Paul very specifically and very clearly was making that statement. We might include the pronoun yourselves to get the sense of it, the flavor of it, the impact of it. You yourselves are that letter. You're the letter of commendation that I might need in a given situation. Now, with that introduction, and hoping that my message this morning does not even appear to be self-serving, but to communicate a biblical truth, let me leave this truth with you to take home today, that you are your pastor's most powerful letter of reference. You personally, and you as a congregation, are the most powerful letter of reference, letter of commendation that could be given to me or to Pastor Seth or to another pastor who may minister to you in the future. You're that letter. Now, Paul's words to the church in Corinth identify some reasons why you are your pastor's most effective letter of reference. The first reason I find in verse 2 is that you reveal what's in his heart. You are our letter, written in our hearts. The apostle here wrote that his true letter of commendation, consisting of the believers in Corinth, had been written in his heart. Those words mean that the relationship between and in the hearts of the Corinthian believers. And those words mean that the relationship between a biblical pastor and his people goes deeper than a mere list of names on a church roll. God puts those people in his heart. The Corinthian Christians, Paul wrote, were engraved on Paul's heart. The relationship between them was no shallow matter. We don't see a lot of engraving today. A few decades ago, it used to be common. My freshman year in Bible college, I got a job working in the darkroom in the engraving department of Johnston's Ink. And my job was to process all of the film that was taken from the linotype and used in engraving name cards for graduation announcements and other formal documents. So I'd develop the film, and I'd have to make sure that it was perfect, and then send it on to the engraving department, and they would use acid to etch the engraving plate. You know, no simple photocopy process here. Ink was embossed on the surface of the paper. It bit into the fiber of the paper, and you couldn't erase it with the end of a pencil. Now, Paul here is thinking about engraving stone. When he wrote in verse 2, "You are our letter engraved on our hearts." This was no shallow matter. It was not a relationship that could be affected by whispered words of character assassination or written letters of commendation. Paul loved them. He had devoted himself to ministering the word of God to them from his heart. I understand that. God puts a special care in the heart of a shepherd for the flock of believers who are under his care. Through 37 years of pastoral ministry and a few months more than that, I have had that relationship with uncounted numbers of people. I think about men who sat under my ministry who have entered the ministry. They became part of the Preacher Boys group with whom I would meet five mornings a week during the summer months and would teach them, and then we would go out and work together. We'd witness together and do all kinds of ministry together. And many of them have become pastors. Some have become missionaries. Some have become college or seminary professors, and a few even presidents of Bible colleges and seminaries. I'll tell you what, they're in my heart. And whenever I see them, which is not very often, I think I'm in their heart. There are young people who have gone on to Bible college or other endeavors in living for Christ. Here in our congregation, I have led some of you to personal faith in Jesus Christ. I've had that privilege of sitting across a table or in a living room and presenting the gospel to you and just assisting as you came to the place where you placed your faith in Jesus. he became your Savior. I've discipled numbers of you in one-on-one Bible studies. I've listened as you poured out the deepest hurts of your heart. I've stood with some of you beside the deathbed of a loved one. You have to be in my heart. When Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he wrote, "It is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart." I want to point out also that this letter cannot be erased. Paul here used the perfect tense of the verb, which when it's used with the word which means to write, means it's written and it's going to stay written. You can't erase this. You can't push a delete button and make it go away. This is permanent. These believers could not be removed easily from Paul's heart because the engraving process left an indelible mark etched in stone. So the accusations that had come Paul's way could not remove it. A biblical pastor has a permanent love for those under his special care. It might have been Friday, I received a Facebook message from someone who used to be a young woman and sat under my pastoral ministry for 23 years. She had a question. And at the end of the message, she wrote something commendatory that came from her heart and expressed appreciation and affection for my wife and me and the ministry we had in her life. Well, it's been years since I was her pastor. But the connection is still there. And you know, whenever I see her name pop up somewhere, or the names of others who have been a part of the spiritual flock over which Christ has made me the under-shepherd, that relationship is still there. Their conversion and changed lives were permanent witnesses to the credibility of Paul's ministry. He did not need another letter of reference. The second reason that I see here is that you are read by the world. Your letter of reference has the greatest impact for me and for Pastor Seth because the world reads this letter, reads you. Do you see that in verse 2? You are our letter of commendation, known and read by all men. I'm pretty confident that the letters of reference that I have written through the years were read by a handful of people at best. But that's not the way it is with a professing Christian who's a member of a church and sits under the ministry of a man of God. The whole world in which he moves, in which she lives, reads that letter. You are open to public view. Paul wrote, "You are known of all men. Everyone in your sphere of influence watches your life every day." And in a sense, it's an open book to them. It's an open letter. You are being read by all who observe your life. Read by all men. They're interested. Whatever people see in your life affects what they think about Pastor Seth, young person. Whatever they see in your life affects what they think about me as your pastor. Sometimes that's good. I received an email message during the past week from someone whom I've never met. And it was about ministries of our church, and it said, "We've heard good things." I have no idea who in this room might know that person, but they're reading you. And what they see is good. They are responding to it. Sometimes the reaction I get when I introduce myself to a person whom I have not met before, but someone who knows a church member, makes me wonder what it is I don't know about that member. Judging from the response. You see, written letters don't matter in those cases, since the letter written on the pages of your life is so public and so powerful in public opinion. Sometimes that fact makes it very easy for me to minister to people who have read my letter of recommendation in your life. At other times, that letter makes it impossible to minister to that person. Many years ago now, I'm remembering a woman who became very angry with me. She became so angry that she left the membership of the church that I pastored at the time. A few months later, I walked out onto the platform at the beginning of the service, and this woman was sitting in the back row, and I thought, oh no, because the message that I had prepared to preach was a bullseye. I preached it. You know, I thought about going back to my office and going through my files to try to find another sermon outline. But I said, no, if God led me in preparing this message, and then I'm going to deliver it. And I did. She sat in the back row and talked back to me the whole time. It was a joy to behold. You know what she was angry with me about? I didn't lead her husband to faith in Jesus Christ. It would have been an impossibility because he lived with her and he was not interested. Sometimes the letter makes it impossible to minister to another person. You are being read every day. The third reason is that you show what Christ can do through your pastor. Now, I'll admit limitations, failures, sometimes sheer stupidity. That's happened. My wife laughed at me yesterday morning. We had finished breakfast. She was actually sitting at the breakfast table yet. And I excused myself because I needed to get to some place. I went upstairs to shave and then realized that I was carrying the juice pitcher in my hand going upstairs to shave. And I didn't think it would be helpful. What I had wanted was my razor, which was in another room. Sheer stupidity sometimes, or forgetfulness, whatever. But you show what Christ, Pastor Seth is not afflicted with any of those things, but I am. Even so, you show what Christ can do through your pastor. Look at verse 3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You see, letters of recommendation are private, but the letter formed by the lives of people who sat under Paul's ministry in Corinth, that letter was open to public view, revealing its message publicly every day. In the final analysis, a Christian is a letter of recommendation from Christ on behalf of his pastors. Paul indicates that Christ himself wrote this letter of recommendation. And the evidence of that fact lay in the change that he, Jesus, had produced in their lives. In our adult Sunday school class over the last three Sunday mornings, we've been considering 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. Here's the change that had occurred. Christ produced it through Paul. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? When the Apostle Paul and Timothy and other co-workers came to the city of Corinth, an intensely sinful place, there were no believers in Jesus there. It was incredibly wicked. Some of you would get sick if I described in detail common everyday practices in that city. And Paul wrote, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, those who are sexually immoral, nor idolaters, those who worship pagan gods, nor adulterers, those who are unfaithful to their mates, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Those people aren't saved. Such were some of you. People who were members of the church in that city used to be like that. But you were washed. They'd been filthy morally, now they were clean. But you were sanctified. They had been unholy, now they were holy. But you were justified. They had been unrighteous before God, meeting none of the requirements of his law. Now they fully met the requirements of God's law in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Christ's signature was on the letter of commendation for the Apostle Paul, for only Jesus Christ could have produced what took place in their lives, transferring them from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And that's true of Liberty Baptist Church as well. You are Christ's letter of recommendation for Don Odens to the world of unbelievers and the world of Christians around you. Can I point something out before I close this morning? Two things. Christ uses a unique secretary, stenographer. Paul wrote, ministered by us. Jesus wrote the letter, but he did it through us. He used us in the process. You see, I'm simply involved in service on behalf of the Lord Jesus. That service involves ministering the gospel. It involves discipling those who are saved. It involves building you up spiritually as I feed you God's word. Ministers, those who serve the message of their master, are secondary and do not seek to commend themselves. Ministers are concerned only with serving their master and meeting the needs of people to whom they minister. And then Christ uses unique writing materials also. Paul wrote there, written not with ink in verse 3, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Christ's letter of recommendation for your pastors is not written with ink on paper. It's not written with acid on stone tablets. It's written with the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. His presence there is the strongest proof that Christ has used the ministry of the gospel to bring you to salvation. And his presence in your life is the true source of life-changing power that is demonstrated in your life day by day. While Christ's letter is not exposed to public view on stone tablets, it is exposed on human hearts. When God gave his law, he wrote the Ten Commandments on stone. But Christ's letter of commendation is written on your heart. You see, what commends my ministry to the world is not a list of rules written in stone and enforced by me or enforced by our church. Do you remember when the question used to be, will your church allow you to drink or whatever? Remember that? Well, it's not about our church having rules. It's about Jesus writing on our hearts and changing our lives. It's the change in your life that takes place because the Word of God has been engraved in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And when you live for Christ because it's in your heart to do so, that is Christ's letter saying, this is what I can do in the life of a sinner like this person. As my Word is ministered by a man like that, filled with failure and limitations and shortcomings, this is what I can do. Wouldn't you let me do the same thing in your life? Well, whether he likes it or not, every Christian is an advertisement for Christ. The honor of Christ, the honor of Christ's church are in the hands of his followers. You know, we judge a shopkeeper by the kinds of goods he sells. We judge a craftsman by the kinds of articles he produces. We judge a church by the kind of men it creates. And men judge Christ by the lives of his followers. You see, Christ's letter is always written on two sets of hearts, that of the pastor and the hearts of his people. And if it is Christ's letter that is written there, it truly recommends them. It brings them together. Now, as Christ continues to write his letter of recommendation concerning my ministry of the Word of God to your heart and in your heart, could I ask you to let him write a good one? I'd like that. I would rejoice in that. Let's pray.